The presentation is entitled tonight, The Underlying Purpose of Education, Nurturing Independence in Our Children. I want to ask you a question. If it's true that the underlying purpose of education is to nurture independence in our children, so let's define independence, let's define nurturing so we know what we're talking about. We can either go to a good English Oxford dictionary, or we could go to Lashon HaKodesh, the biblical Hebrew, which is responsible for the creation of the world. God used Lashon HaKodesh, the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, to create the world. So what word would we identify as reflecting independence? Any suggestions? Atzmiut. That would probably be more likely in modern Hebrew. If you were to describe someone as an independent person, which word would we probably select?
Yachid.
Yachid would be an individual. But in terms of specifically someone who's independent, self-sufficient, an adult, if you like, which word would we go for?
Chofshi.
Gever, in control. I'm going to suggest the following. Gadol. In Hebrew, a gadol, even though it translates as great or big, it also refers specifically to an adult. Actually, it's interesting, when you look at the three letters that make up the word gadol, gimel, and then the two letters dal, if you were to separate the gimel, what does the word dal actually mean? A poor person. What level of poor? You have an oni, you have an evyon, you have a dal. Dal is really the lowest. Poverty-stricken, pauper. I think even in English you say of a person has a dull mind, I mean they're poor in mind. I'm sure the origin is this word. The concept here is the following. The gimel, as the letter actually suggests, is a goimel, gives, nurtures, causes to grow. The gimel gives to the dull, to the poor person, poor in mind, and nurtures them to grow, till the combination of the gimel and the dal come together and creates the gadol, an independent, functioning person. Someone once asked me, what's your definition of a dysfunctional family? So I said, any family that has more than one member. Never mind. So a functioning human being, an independent adult, someone who's self-sufficient, not dependent on others, is called a gadol. It goes a little bit further than that, because we know that the gimel, and this is not a lecture on the letters, this is just a foundation in the concept of independence. The gimel also means gamal, camel, goimel, to nurture. But what else does the gimel mean? If you spell out the three letters. In last week's parasha, we learned that when Sarah gave birth to Yitzhak, Vayigdal Hayeled, Perek Hafal of chapter 21, Vayigdal Hayeled, the child grew, the gamal, and she stopped giving milk to the child. Now the problem here is that goimel, as in goimel chesed, means to do acts of kindness where you are giving of yourself to another person. So how can the same word goimel mean to give, and the gamal means to stop giving? Hashem has unlimited imagination. Why not have a word for giving and another word for weaning? But no. Because hidden in this one letter, the gimel, goimel, gamal, is the essence of Jewish parenting. What is the purpose of giving and giving and giving to our children? In order that we eventually reach a point of not having to give anymore, to stop giving. So the child becomes independent. Usually about 34, 36 years old. I'm only being real, it's all right. So a child becomes independent where they no longer need to receive from their parents. And that doesn't mean they're no longer in a relationship, no longer communication. No, it means the child is self-sufficient, is able to take care of themselves. Let's look a little bit more deeply in our own sages' words of what describes independence. And then based on that foundation, we're going to look at a lot of examples of how to nurture our children in this concept. In the laws of charity, tzedakah, what is considered the highest level of charity? Which is the highest level of charity?
Giving before it's needed.
Giving before it's needed. Helping someone to help themselves. So more than my giving tzedakah, charity, which might be precisely their requirements, if I can give them a means by which they, independently, can create their own income, I have given them real greatness, independence. So our concept of greatness, we're going to see in a few minutes, our concept of gadol, of adulthood, is independence. There's a much deeper level, which I want to share with you tonight, and this will be also part of the foundation of what it means to trust other people in sharing in decisions. And in that trust, we are nurturing independence, especially with our children. And it's such a powerful message that Hashem decided to take a risk of being totally misunderstood right from the beginning of the Torah in a message which was so dangerous, the risk was so high, but yet Hashem decided that the message that would come out of this risk was so much greater than the risk, it was worth the risk. What's the risk? Medrash Haggadah, in Bereishis Ois Chaf Vav, quotes the following. When Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, please write in the Torah, Nase Adam, B'tzalmenu Kidmusenu, let us make man in our image, like our reflection. Moshe Rabbeinu, Eved Ne'eman, totally faithful servant, does not take this on dictation. Challenges Hashem. Rabbeinu Shleilam, Master of the Universe. Ma'at ha'noitim ma'kaim laminim, why are you giving room to heretics or people who are looking for excuses? Shiyamru, they're now going to say, oh, kishtei rishuyas, there's two deities, there's two powers. Nase, let us, b'tzalmeinu, in our image. Why Hashem, why are you giving such an opening? So Hashem said back, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Hashem says back to Moshe Rabbeinu, listen to the message that is worth the risk. Ki mimeini, from me, says Hashem, yilamdu kol baye olam. All people that come into this world will learn a message which is worth the risk. And what's that message? Sheimba gadol, that if a great person, an adult, an independent person, sheimba gadol la'asay stavay, wants to do something. In this particular case, Hashem is the gadol. He wants to create man, the pinnacle, the zenith of creation. Imba gadol la'asay stavay yitol eitzah mikaton, should take advice from someone lower than oneself. Shahari ani, myself, says Hashem, kshabati libaris ha'adam, when I came to create man, nimlachti malchi asharis, I took advice, I took counsel with those lower than myself, the angels. How are we supposed to understand this? Hashem doesn't need the advice. Hashem is totally independent. That's the real translation of ha'gadol. When we call Hashem ha'gadol, the great one, we don't, in what respect do we mean great? Totally independent. The most unique independent being, so to speak, that can be. Everything else is dependent on Hashem. So comes along Hashem and says, a gadol, an adult, an independent functioning person, if they want the cooperation of those lesser than themselves, be they employees, be they other members of the family, be they their own children, or in areas where one has greater expertise, but turns to the spouse and offers them the option to share, cooperate in the decision making, says Hashem, that message of showing respect, that your opinion counts, even though I have my own agenda already, but I'm sharing, I'm giving you the chance to cooperate, to agree, that level of respect, that message of cooperation, is worth being misunderstood. The whole of monotheism, right there in the first verse. And what is the deeper message that's coming out of this? The deeper message is that when a person feels part of a decision, they don't feel cut off from. That if I'm helping in the decision, you give me the impression that I'm an independent being on my own that should be reckoned with, should be included, that I'm not something or someone that doesn't count. And so when I'm included, whether it's finances or whether it's children are being included in some decisions in the house, And the parents have already decided, we'll see with examples soon, various options which the parents agree between themselves is the menu we're going to offer the children. Then the children choose between the options, as opposed to a dictation, as opposed to you have to, I'm commanding you, and then the child has to be obedient, perhaps out of fear of the consequences, or out of motivation for the incentives. But both of those are external, and neither of them are desirable in really building a true relationship of trust and respect, which is nurtured when we give them the feeling that I'm an independent, separate entity that you're reckoning with, that you're sharing, including, and asking me to be cooperative with you. I'm not being taken for granted. Let's look together at the duties that the Torah gives us as parents towards our children. What are our obligations? What are our duties? And we're going to put this all together in terms of what does it mean to nurture a child to become independent. The Torah's definition of our role in nurturing our children to become independent beings, we find in the Gemara in Kedushin, Kaf Tes Amud Aleph, that's page 29a, for those who want to check it out in the art scroll, or share it with their chavrusa, wants to look it in the art scroll. There are six obligations. Four of them really count, we're going to see in a moment. The first two really depend on specific circumstances. L'maylai, a parent has an obligation to circumcise the child, obviously if it's a male. The second, l'ftaisai, that if it's a firstborn, then the parents have to redeem the child. But the next four of the six are the ones we're really looking at, because they're generic to all of us. L'lamda Torah, I have an obligation as a parent to teach this child Torah. We'll look at the details in a few moments of each one. Number four, L'asiya Isha, to marry the child to a spouse. Number four, L'lamda Umnus, to teach a career, a craft, a trade. And lastly, V'yesh Omrim, Afilu L'hashisai B'mayim, to even teach them how to float on water, how to swim. Let's look at each one of these individually and ask ourselves, is there a uniting theme behind all of these that gives us a clear picture? What is it that Hashem, through Chazal, through our sages, wants us as parents to engender, inject, so to speak, and nurture in our children? If we look carefully, teaching Torah, what's that about? Giving our child clarity. How do I behave as a Jew in every situation? With the family, with family members, extended family, how do I deal with different people? Avraham Avinu, he demonstrates how family members who are completely contrary to his own ideals, his own son, his own brother-in-law and nephew, Lot, goes off, chooses to live in Sodom, not the same values that he was raised in the home of the tent of Avraham. And nevertheless, Avraham puts his life and future on the line to save Lot. What message is he sending us? He's not only putting his own life on the line, he's putting us on the line. He was putting his future on the line in order to save Russia. Lot chose to be a wicked person, but Avraham had already told him, you're my brother, you're family. And family means that even if you don't share the same ideals, my need to respect your life, my need to respect the right that you have to live, and my connection to you as a member of family to save you if I can, I still have that obligation. Torah throughout, that's a small example, but hundreds and thousands of examples of either midot, of how we behave in our character, or how we behave in our mitzvahs, thousands and thousands of halachas that give us direction, that's the real translation of the word halacha, to go, leich, direction. We're given direction how to behave in the workplace, with family, with ourselves, with our spouse. So Torah gives us clarity. That's what we're supposed to be giving our children. Included in giving our children clarity is the ability to be independent in learning. I'm here to give them the Torah information, but not so they become dependent on me as the teacher, and now they need to turn to me all the time. No. My real goal is to enable them to reconstruct the same teaching that I'm giving them from the text itself, so that they become independent learners. Many of the problems we suffer today with teenagers who have not enjoyed learning is not only social or hashkafa questions, attitudes or outlook about the Torah, But if they're not enjoying learning, not always, but frequently, it's because they haven't tasted the success of being able to reconstruct the meaning from the text itself. I just wanted to give you a quick demonstration of something your own children will be getting in this school. Let's just take a simple word, dava, which either means word or thing. And you teach the child, once he knows the word, and I'm just giving you an example of teaching independence in children. Teaching them a shoresh, this is really a noun, but it's also a shoresh, I'm not getting into that. And we teach them the prefixes, letters that go before the word that give a new direction to the word. Le dava, for a thing.